to turn to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Preach from this verse this morning, this evening. We just want to take the thought of the message from something in this verse. But in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Again, Paul declared the wondrous fact that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then he wrote, of whom, that is the sinners that Christ came to save, I am. Of whom I am. So Paul included, he saw and he included himself in that statement, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. When he saw himself in that statement, when he was able to include himself in that statement, his heart was filled with joy, with thanksgiving, with praise, with passion. And he wrote in verse 17, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. That is, in light of the fact that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, he now says in verse 17, glory to God. It was the habit of Paul to include himself and his readers in the great truths of God. And what a difference it makes in the mind, in the heart, and in the life when we, with full assurance, can include ourselves in the great truths presented in God's Word. It'll make a difference in our appreciation of doctrinal truths. It'll make a difference in our perception of everything. It'll make a difference in our demeanor. It'll make a difference in our attitude. It'll make a difference in our passion for the Lord. It'll make a difference in our zeal in the service of the Lord. But I'm afraid tonight that many of God's people read the historical accounts of the Word of God without seeing themselves, without including themselves in those accounts. And the result is they simply become, they're just merely historical accounts. And that's why many find the Word of God to be boring. Because to them, it's just an historical account. But what a difference it makes when you can see yourself in those accounts. When you can include yourself in those accounts. Likewise, with the doctrinal truths that are declared in the Word of God, many do not include themselves, do not see themselves in the great truths. And as a result, those great truths just become points of theology. But what a difference it makes when you can see yourself, when you can include yourself. You read Ephesians 1, talking about the blessings of salvation, and you look at the personal pronouns there. Paul includes himself. Paul includes his readers. And it makes all the difference. It makes all the difference in the world. In fact, the Word of God takes on a fuller meaning when you and I can see ourselves and we can include ourselves in the Word of God. So the subject tonight is, can you see and include yourself? The first thing we see here is Paul included himself in that declaration that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am. The entire doctrine of salvation, as it is presented in the Word of God, in and through Jesus Christ, becomes much more glorious, becomes much more amazing, becomes a greater wonder when you, with full assurance, know that Jesus Christ came to save you. When you know with full assurance that Jesus Christ came where you were, set you free, rescued you from the dominion of sin, from the dominion of Satan. When you, with full assurance and with full confidence, know that you have been spared what you deserve as a guilty sinner before God. What a difference it makes when you can see yourself, when you can include yourself. And as you read through the Word of God, especially the Pauline epistles, and you see the doctrine of salvation presented so very, very clearly, can you see yourself? Can you include yourself? When you read about in the Word of God the depravity of mankind, can you see yourself? Can you see yourself as that depraved sinner? Can you see the Lord reaching way down for you and rescuing you from the depths of sin and rescuing you from the depths of defilement and the depths of wickedness and the depths of unrighteousness? We need to be able to see ourselves. We need to be able to include ourselves in the teachings of salvation. Really, the Bible, you can look at it as a photo album. It's a photo album of salvation. It is a photo album of the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. The question is, when you look through the Bible, can you see yourself in those photos? God gives us many photos of salvation, and we ought to be able to see ourselves in every one of them, we that are saved. We ought to be able to include ourselves. And when we're able to see ourselves and include ourselves in these photos and these pictures, they mean so much more. The Word of God becomes more meaningful. I mean, can you see yourself in Noah's Ark, spared from the wrath of God? Can you see yourself? Or is that just a historical account? Is that just a Bible story? Or can you really, truly see yourself in that ark, spared the wrath of God? Can you see yourself in Isaac when God provided a lamb in his stead? Can you see yourself in that? Can you include yourself in that? One of my favorite stories, 2 Samuel chapter 9. Can you see yourself in Mephibosheth? What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful picture of salvation. When David sent and fetched Mephibosheth out of Lodabar and brought him to his own table and allowed Mephibosheth to feast at the king's table. I am Mephibosheth. If you're saved, you are Mephibosheth. You are he. Can you see yourself in Mephibosheth? Can you include yourself in that? Mephibosheth was a crippled. He belonged to a disgraced family. He belonged to a doomed family. He belonged to a destitute family. He was a fugitive from David. He was dwelling in Lodabar, in a place that was barren. He was dwelling, living in a wasteland of destruction, in a place of no pasture. And we read that David sent and fetched him. Again, I am Mephibosheth. I can see myself in Mephibosheth. And when you can see yourself in Mephibosheth, you read 2 Samuel chapter 9, and it's no longer just a story. It's no longer just a historical account. It is a living picture. And it means so much. Can you see yourself when David said of Mephibosheth, "Thou shalt eat bread at my table"? continually. Again, I am. I am Mephibosheth. Can you include yourself? Notice in Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verses 2 and verse 3. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. This is David talking. Out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Can you see yourself? Can you see yourself in that horrible pit? Can you see yourself in that miry clay? And can you see the Lord reaching down and bringing you out of that horrible pit and bringing you out of that miry clay, setting your feet upon a rock, establish your goings, putting a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God? Again, when we read that, we ought to be able to see ourselves. We ought to know what David is talking about, because we have experienced the same thing. I love the miracles, the healing miracles of Jesus Christ. I love preaching from the healing miracles of Jesus Christ, because I see myself in every single one of them. They are all pictures. They are all photos of salvation. You consider the woman at the well. I'm her. You're her. Can you see yourself taking that living water? Can you consider the man at the pool of Bethesda, lame for 38 years, when Jesus came upon the scene and said, "Take up thy bed and walk." And the man was made whole, and the man was able to walk. That's a picture of salvation. And I'm that man. And I can see myself there. I look at the blind man. Remember the blind man said, "I was blind, but now I see." I can identify. You can identify with that if you know the Lord. "I was blind, but now I see." Again, these are much more than just accounts of things that happened during the ministry, the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. They are living pictures of you and I. I picture myself, and can include myself, when Jesus stood at the grave of Lazarus and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came forth. We can see ourselves in Lazarus. I think of the one sheep that the shepherd went out to find. I'm that sheep. I'm that sheep. We can include ourselves in that. So you see, The salvation that the Bible so clearly speaks of becomes so much more meaningful when you can see and include yourself in it. And every page of Scripture, somewhere, there is a picture of salvation. There is a picture of you and I that have been saved, that we can identify with, that we can see ourselves in, that we can include ourselves in. So every page becomes so meaningful. You think about the doctrine of the incarnation. And as amazing as that is, how much more meaningful, how much more amazing it comes when you, with full assurance, know that He became flesh for you. He became flesh for you. It's not just simply the Word was made flesh. He became flesh for me. He became poor that I might be rich. We need to learn to look at Scripture and include ourselves and see ourselves in Scripture. The cross. What transpired there at Calvary certainly becomes much more meaningful and amazing when you can include yourself. And as you follow Paul's writings, you see that, again, this was the habit of Paul. He would present a doctrine, but he did so. He always included himself or his readers in the truth that he was presenting. He said in Galatians 1 and verse 4, Christ Himself, Christ gave Himself for our sins. He didn't just say Christ gave himself for sins. He said Christ gave himself for our sins. He included himself. He included the churches there of Galatia that he was writing to. And it means much more when you can see yourself. In Ephesians 5 and verse 2, we read that Christ hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, who gave himself for us. John wrote in 1 John 3 and verse 16, he laid down his life for us. And what a difference it makes when you can see Jesus Christ, when you can see Jesus Christ on the cross in your place and in your stead, when you can include yourself, and what a difference it makes when you see the wound, that the wounds of Christ are for you. And this is what Isaiah wrote of in Isaiah 53 and verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He included himself. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Again, it makes a big difference when you see yourself. When you can see not just the sins of all his people upon Jesus Christ, but when you can see your sins upon Jesus Christ, how meaningful it becomes. When you can see your sins in all their filth, in all their vileness, transferred to Jesus Christ, and then he bearing the guilt of those sins, and he becoming accountable for those sins. How can you look at the cross and it not fill you with gratitude, and it not fill you with praise? How can you read Isaiah 53 and not be moved? How can you read any scripture about Jesus Christ dying when you can see yourself and not be moved? But see, that's our problem today. We just read these things, and we don't get personally involved in them, and they basically become meaningless. They don't excite us. They don't thrill us. They don't humble us. I mean, when you can see your sins placed upon Jesus Christ, how does that not humble you? It's got to. So you see what a difference it makes when we're able to see ourselves, when we're able to include ourselves in the doctrines. When I read of Christ's prayer in John 17, Jesus Christ praying for his own. Now, I don't believe when Jesus prayed that prayer that he prayed in general terms for his own people. I believe he had each and every one of his people in mind, individually. I believe that with all of my heart. So I read John 17, and I see Jesus Christ praying for me. And John 17 now becomes much more meaningful. And how can that not move you when you read John 17 and you are able to see yourself and you're able to include yourself? And I think upon the resurrection and how that Jesus Christ came forth victorious from that tomb alive. And because he lives, I can have confidence and I can have assurance and I can have peace in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of trials, in the midst of sorrows and affliction. When I realize that Jesus Christ not only came for me, he came to save me, but he died for me, he was buried for me, and he rose for me. It was all for me. That moves us. We need to be able to include ourselves in these things. I think about the person of Christ. And the Bible draws us a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ. All through the Old Testament, a portrait is being painted of Jesus Christ. And when I think of the person of Christ, and I'm able to include myself in that and realize that it's for me, Christ becomes precious. Christ becomes precious to those that believe. When you consider the names of God and you consider the names of Jesus Christ, and you're able to include yourself in those things, you're able to see yourself and realize, yes, he takes those names upon himself and they apply to me. It becomes more meaningful when you think about the offices of Christ, the righteousness of Christ, the love of Christ, the teachings of Christ, the promises, the laws, the ways of Christ. They all become more precious when we realize with full assurance our part in them. So again, we need, like Paul, to be able to not just to read the truths that are in the Word of God, but to see ourselves and to be able to include ourselves. I think of the return of Jesus Christ. And again, Jesus Christ became flesh for me. Jesus Christ died for me. Jesus Christ was buried for me. Jesus Christ arose for me. And Jesus Christ is coming back for me. For me. We need to include ourselves when we think about that gathering that's going to take place, the greatest of all gatherings. Means much more when you include yourself in that gathering, when you know with full assurance, I'm going to be a part of that. I'm going to be a part of that. The miracles of the Bible. The Bible is a miracle. The Bible is a book of recorded miracles. It's one miracle after another. But the miracles of the Bible become much more real and much more meaningful when you and I can put ourselves there. When we can place ourselves there. You think of God bringing Israel across the Red Sea on dry ground. Can you place yourself there? Can you place yourself there at the Red Sea, basically trapped, the enemy pursuing you, nowhere to go, and God works a miracle? Can you place yourself there? Can you see yourself there amongst those Israelites? And if you can place yourself there and remember, God can still part the waters. What a blessing. What a blessing. What an encouragement that becomes. When God provided Israel with manna in the wilderness, can you place yourself there? And then remember that God still has manna. Can you place yourself as God brought the children of Israel across the River Jordan and brought them to Jericho? Can you place yourself there? And remember how God brought down the walls of Jericho. God still can overcome all obstacles, and God still can bring down any wall that has been erected. But can we place ourselves there? Or are these just historical accounts that are nice to read about, that are nice to know about? Or can we see ourselves? Can we identify? Can we remember some Jerichos in our life and we say, yeah, I know what that's talking about? Can we remember some Red Seas in our life and we say, yeah, I know what he's talking about there? Can we remember times when God has provided manna for us? And we read the account there and we say, yes, I know what God is talking about. I identify with that. Again, it becomes much more meaningful when we can identify. I think of Gideon and his 300 men. Can we see ourselves? Can we see ourselves amongst that group? Gideon and his 300. And God is still able to use the few and the feeble to do mighty things. David facing Goliath. Can we identify? Can we identify facing that giant? And if we can, then that encourages us, because God is still able to topple the giants? Can we put ourselves there at the Brook of Kereth and at Zarephath when God supplied the needs of Elijah? And can we say, yes, I know what that's about. I know what that's about. I've been at that brook. And God has miraculously supplied. I've been down at Zarephath and God has supplied. I know what He's talking about there. Can we identify with what God is teaching us in His Word? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. But it wasn't just Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that furnace. There was a fourth man. And that fourth man is Jesus Christ. Can you identify? Can you have times in your life you've been in the furnace? But that fourth man, He was there waiting for you. He was there all the time. We can identify. These aren't just fabulous stories. These are pictures of ourselves. These are pictures of our lives. You think of Daniel in the lion's den. Can we identify? Have we ever been in the lion's den? And has God ever shut the mouths of the lions in a miraculous way? Yes. These are all pictures of our lives. We have a wonderful photo album here of our life. We have a photo album of the Christian life, and we need to be able to identify with them. You think about the apostles. So many occasions when Jesus took the few loaves and a few fishes and fed over 5,000, well over 5,000. Can we identify and say, yes, I know what that's talking about? Jesus has miraculously supplied our needs over and over again. Can you go with the apostles in the storms? Several times they were in different storms and God calmed the storm and God brought them through the storm. Can we identify? Can we place ourselves in the midst of that storm and say, yes, I know? Again, everything takes on a different meaning when we can include ourselves in it. When God called Peter to Himself there in the storm and caused Peter to walk on water. Have you ever walked on water? I don't mean literally. But I mean in a time of a storm, has God given you some walking on water times? When you've been able to walk on the water in the very midst of a storm, you can identify, you know what He's talking about. So you see, all through the Scriptures, we can see ourselves. We can include ourselves. The wonderful promises of God's Word. You know, the promises mean very little if you can't apply it to yourself. If you can't apply it to yourself, you can go buy at the bookstore, the God's Book of Promises, and you can read those promises. But I'm telling you, unless you can apply it to yourself, they don't mean a whole lot. They're not all that helpful unless you can make personal application. And when I think of all the wonderful promises of God's Word, they become much more meaningful. They become much more useful when they apply directly to my situation. When they apply directly to your situation. When we can hear personally and make personal application of cast thy burden upon the Lord and He will sustain thee. In other words, He will bear thee. He will support thee. He will keep thee. He will comfort thee. He will help thee. He will assist thee. He will strengthen thee. When you can make personal application of that, it means so much more. It gives you personal encouragement. It gives you personal strength. Notice in Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41, verse 10. It says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Can you read those words and make application to yourself? Can you hear God personally saying that to you? For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. It means so much more when you can make personal application. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I read Isaiah 41:10 many, 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 many different times in a week. That's God's promise. That's God's promise to me. That's God's promise to you. Those aren't just words. That's real. When you can include yourself, it's real. Verse 13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. I can identify. He has held my hand many times. I have felt the touch of his hand. I know what he's talking about. And when he says, fear not, I will help thee. I know what he's talking about. We've experienced it over and over and over again. In Isaiah 43, he says in verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And we're always passing through. It may seem like you're stuck, but as God's people, we're passing through. And we do not pass through alone. He says, I will be with thee. So when I'm going through, when I'm in the deep waters, and I read that, is it real? Is it real, or is that just words? It's real. And that's why if you can include yourself, you can make application to yourself. You can see yourself. You can't put this book down for days and days and days and not go to it. It means too much. There's too many pictures of ourselves. There's too many applications to ourselves. We can't stay away from it. And you can read the rest there in Isaiah 43 and verse 2. When can we hear the Lord say, as he did to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee? And how many times we've heard God whisper in our own ears, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. That's me. That's me. Yes, I know that includes other people, but that includes me. God's grace is sufficient for me. And when Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, do you know what he's talking about? We can say, yeah, Paul, I know what you're talking about. We've been able to do things that there's no way we could have done without Jesus Christ. What a difference it makes. When Paul said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am. He came to save me. What a difference it makes when we conclude ourselves. The Bible becomes much more meaningful when we can personally identify with what it says. But I'm afraid tonight there are many who profess to be saved, and the Bible is a very stale book to them because they cannot identify with what it says. They do not see themselves. They read the healing miracles of Christ. They read of blind Bartimaeus, but they don't see themselves as blind Bartimaeus. They read of the crippled and the lame and the deaf, but they don't see themselves in those pictures. But oh, how meaningful it becomes when we can see ourselves. I read in Ezekiel 16. God compared Israel to an infant left out in the wilderness. I'm that infant. And the Lord came by and he said, "Live." And he did everything that was necessary for that infant. I'm that infant. Again, my whole point is we need to be able to see ourselves in the Word of God. And when we can see ourselves, the Bible is anything but stale. And I think about the attributes of God. They become so much more meaningful when I can make application to my life. The omnipotence of God, that is the almighty power of God. What a wonderful thing to think about. But oh, how much more it means when you can make application to your own life. When you talk about the omniscience and the wisdom of God, people all the time will say in a very flippant manner, "Well, God knows all about it." Yes, he does, but do you really know that? Do you really believe it? Or do you just believe it concerning other people? Can you apply that to your own situation? What a difference. What a difference it makes. God's in control. What a difference that makes when I can apply that to my life. It's easy to apply that to anyone else's life when their world is falling apart. Well, God's in control. Yes, he is. But that applies when your world's falling apart also. God's in control. And the way to get through those things is to be able to apply these truths, the doctrines. The doctrines become more than just theology when you can make personal application. I believe we are to be as sound as we can possibly be theologically. But there is a danger that they just become points, that the teachings of God just become points of theology. That is a very real danger. We need to make personal application. And when we can make personal application, theology is a wonderful thing. I don't get offended by doctrine. I love doctrine. I love the teachings of God's Word. Especially when I can make application to my own situation. So what a difference it makes in our lives when we can see and include ourselves in the teachings of the Word of God. Is the Word of God precious to you today? Do you read it? Do you study it? I mean, if you would learn to be able to just read it and stop and put yourself there. Put yourself there. The Word of God begins to live in our hearts and in our lives. And it begins to make a difference in our minds. Begins to make a difference in the way we think. It begins to make a difference in the way that we look at things. It begins to make a difference in our attitudes. So the Bible is a photo album. And it is a photo album, and I see myself all the way through it. I can see myself. What a blessing. So I pray tonight that each one of us that know the Lord as Savior, and we would be able to see ourselves, and we would be able to include ourselves as we read the Scriptures. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, of whom I am. What a wonderful thing. And that led Paul to write what he wrote in verse 17, which is basically glory to God. Praise God, Christ Jesus came to save sinners, and I'm one of the sinners he came to save. How can you not want to serve him? Believing that. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.